This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, this is James Bond, the Godfather of Soul. I feel good. You're checking out my man, Mike Siegel. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy.
Welcome back in, folks. Good to be here for another big hour. And we are delighted to have you with us as we go through. There's so much breaking news as it unfolds that we're trying to stay on top of all of it. And right now, on everybody's mind, is the terrible tragedy, and could have been a whole lot worse. But 11 people, or 12 people, 11 I guess it was total, hurt by the knife attack and driving attack of this fellow who had been Somalian, came to this country as a permanent legal, or at least became a permanent legal resident, came as a refugee, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, he became incensed, did a Facebook post about 3 minutes before the attack, and then proceeded to carry out the attack. There were some talking about it as a lone wolf attack, getting radicalized when he was here. I'm not sure even those things are accurate. They're cliches, and maybe we'll get better insight from our guest, who is the executive director of the Middle East Forum, one of the most respected think tank type groups with regard to the Middle East anywhere in this country, and that is Greg Roman. Mr. Roman, good to have you back. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, but my wishes go out for all the victims in Ohio.
Absolutely. The only fortunate thing is, and it's very fortunate, that all of them will live. It could have been a lot worse. And, of course, that officer obviously did the right thing. I'm not sure before we started having these attacks that our police would have been as aggressive as they are now. They're being trained to do this sort of thing. He gave him one warning. He wouldn't stop wielding the knife, and that was it. I think he hit him with three bullets, but that was the end of it. And that's the training. And this was a campus officer, so he wasn't even really involved in doing police work on a regular basis, strictly on campus. So he's to be commended in this situation. Did the right thing, obviously.
From the beginning of the attack until the end, it was less than 1 minute.
Yeah.
So it was fortunate, God's grace, that he was in the right place at the right time. Otherwise, it could have been a lot worse.
Let's start with this type of attack. I'm not sure you can call it a lone wolf or radicalized here, because somebody who's a jihadist, it's almost in their DNA. Not that it's inherited or any of that, but it's, I say almost in the DNA, in that it's an instinct that some people have who follow radical Islam, and he just had to be tapped into, is my view, because somebody who thinks he's not going to be respected if he puts out his rug in the middle of the Ohio State campus to do his prayers, his daily prayers, the normal person isn't going to go out and commit that kind of violence. That's lunacy. So do you think it's correct to say that these are lone wolf radicalized people that came into this country?
I don't think that it's lone wolves. I think that, according to a Reuters report that came out a few months ago, these are more like wolf dens. If we just look at the statistics, according to ISIS-related cases from 2014, there have been 90 indictments brought against individuals in the United States before they were able to commit attacks. And of those 90 indictments, they list at least 2 to 10 other individuals being involved either here in the United States or overseas in what would have been described by mainstream media as a lone wolf attack, but what the Department of Justice is calling an organized cell. So if we break down the dichotomy of what happened yesterday, and if we look at the Facebook post that he put online 3 minutes before he started his attack, we have to look at several factors. The first is that the individuals he mentioned in that post, including Anwar al-Maliki, including al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, including a vague, often used reference to Daesh, to ISIS, and also including his just general sentiment, wasn't something that he just picked up by reading the internet. It was indicative of the fact that he was reading materials and making a conscientious effort. And through other posts that he had on his Facebook that we were able to see today earlier before they ended up taking it down and we no longer have access to it, shows that there was a conscientious effort of this individual being educated from radicalized sources, complaining in one way or another about actions that the U.S. was committing overseas, and finally taking a conscious decision to turn his frustration that was, I would say, fed by online incitement emanating from ISIS-like websites, and then catalyzing himself through his own aggression and his own indifference towards human life by going into a car, ramming into a crowd of people, brandishing a butcher knife, and starting to stab individuals. It didn't just happen overnight that he decided to commit this. This was at least a two-month-long process, according to what we at least know. And to not assign blame to individuals and to groups that promote this kind of action against American citizens would be irresponsible on our behalf as citizens, as experts, and for the U.S. government to say it was just one individual is categorically false. The lone wolf analysis, yeah.
No, you're right. I mean, I'm listening with great interest to your description, Mr. Roman, because my instinct.
The lone wolf analysis is a way that Islamist groups in the United States and some politically correct politicians like to say that there's a process not necessarily being radicalized, but there's things that just go over the edge. The only two real lone wolf terrorists that we could potentially identify in the last 20 years who were insulated, who had their own self-indoctrination, who weren't reading materials that were based on incitement, may have been the Norwegian terrorist, Andrei Brezhnevik, and perhaps Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. Every other instance of terrorism that has happened on domestic soil has had some kind of inspiration, has had some kind of logistician, has had some kind of network which has backed it. Even with McVeigh and Terry Nichols in the Oklahoma City bombing, that was a two-person cell, but they had many other individuals helping them out, including training and whatever else. And this specific case of an 18-year-old deciding to commit vehicular terrorism and then a knife attack is something that I think we've talked about on your show previously. Other countries have been experiencing. If we looked at the Nice attack that happened in France a few months ago, almost 100 people were killed by a truck going into an open area. You had the instance of the train attack that took place in France when there was an individual who took out a AK-47, and if it wasn't for a few American citizens stopping him, many people would have been killed. And we even saw in Israel over 125 attacks since October of 2015, which have involved cars, which have involved rammings, which have involved knife attacks. But when you dig deep into the rationale and the reasoning behind terrorists who were able to survive those attacks and they were arrested and brought to justice, they ascribe the fact they were reading materials produced by online jihadi groups as the reason for their actions.
I don't want to split hairs, but let me just ask you.
Yeah.
We're about a minute before the break.
He
referred to al-Awlaki, who's Al Qaeda, in the Asian
area,
and Yemen, and of course he was born here. But he's had a lot of inspiration for the in a demented way for these people, and yet ISIS took credit for it. He's one of their soldiers. Would you say it was, even though ISIS promotes the idea of using the vehicle and the knife, it would appear this guy was more influenced by al-Awlaki. Not that it makes a lot of difference, but for purposes of conversation, wasn't he? Did ISIS take this credit incorrectly?
ISIS is going to take credit for any U.S.-born Muslim jihadi act that's committed on our soil. It's good propaganda for them. But the origin of his inspiration came from al-Awlaki, and it may have came from ISIS-related materials, too. This isn't just one node of a network connecting to one actor. These are multiple parties and multiple terror organizations that are responsible for the process of indoctrination that eventually culminated in yesterday's attack.
We'll come right back on that point with Greg Roman. He is the Middle East Forum Executive Director under Daniel Pipes, another great Middle East expert. Both of them are terrific. We'll come right back. Mike Siegel here. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We all know dental care is essential to good health. That's why I've made sure to have implant procedures done by my dentist when a tooth needs replacement. By having an implant procedure, I avoid bone loss, and you can too. Mike Siegel here, and I can assure you that having an implant can be achieved with the best professional dental care at the most affordable price. It will not cost you $6,000 as some dentists charge. Now you can get the same quality care I received for just $1,995. You heard me right, just $1,995. The fee includes the implant, abutment, and crown. I am thrilled with the quality of my implants, and you will be too, since they perform and look just like natural healthy teeth. Visit 1995dentalimplants.com, 1995dentalimplants.com. Arrange a free, no-obligation consultation. It's now affordable to get world-class care for an affordable cost. 1995dentalimplants.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green fed raw cheddar artesian cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding, unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze, containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no. Wait. A family hub.
Yeah.
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Back we are. Good to have you with us, Mike Siegel, in as we get back with our guest, Greg Roman. He is Executive Director of the Middle East Forum. I do a lot of work in the area of, obviously, Middle East politics, military strategy, jihadism, and all the rest. All right, Mr. Roman, so we have then this act. We've had others like it. One would argue that it's very difficult to stop these from happening. Let's agree that they are connected to the ideology. That's the glue that keeps these people together. It's not just a lone wolf or, getting somehow radicalized here. It's in almost inbred. So having even said that and acknowledged it, how do you go about deterring or stopping this? How do you take that act, the fellow who's, from what I read, doing pretty well in school, doing very well in school, graduated from a community college and went to Ohio State University, and seemed to be pretty bright, and all of a sudden does this. You could theoretically have the same act by, let's say, a Muslim student on any campus in the country, and I'm hard put to understand how you stop this sort of thing.
So the first thing that I'd like to say is we have to look at the macro picture of the immigration of individuals from Muslim-majority states into the United States. And there was an interesting article that came out yesterday in the Washington Post, a review of James Mitchell, the famous American and great American who designed the 9/11 terrorist enhanced interrogation program that led to the divulge of information from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and a lot of the other 9/11 actors, where he writes in his memoir of this program 15 years after its inception, that, and this is a quote from his book, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed explained that if the United States had treated 9/11 like a law enforcement matter, he would have had time to launch a second wave of attacks. He then goes on to say that Mohammed said, "We will win because Americans don't realize we do not need to defeat you militarily. We only need to fight long enough for you to defeat yourself by quitting." The United States would, jihadi-minded brothers would immigrate into the United States and wrap themselves in America's rights and laws until they were strong enough to rise up and attack us. He said the brothers would relentlessly continue their attacks, and the American people would become so tired, so frightened, so weary of war that they would just want it to end. Eventually, America will have her neck exposed for us to slaughter. So we have to first look at the type of individual who's committing this attack. There are individuals who are outside of this country and who are inside of this country who are prone to radicalization. And if the Department of Homeland Security is not doing its job in terms of pre-screening these individuals when they come into the country, continue screening them when they're in the process of being in an absorption center in the United States, like this individual was in Dallas for 23 days 2 years ago before he moved with him to Ohio, and continually engaging with individuals who either have a green card, who are allowed here on a refugee resettlement program, or who may be here on a religious worker visa, DHS and federal law enforcement agencies must work in cooperation with local and state enforcement to monitor the communities where we find a high percentage of refugees and other individuals who are legally and should be allowed to settle in the United States, more than just giving them a stamp when they come in with their passports to the United States and then forgetting about them. That's the first thing. Immigration must continue its monitoring of new arrivals to the United States for years after they come into this country, when they're allowed.
Do we have enough manpower to do that?
I think we do. I think that the increases that were allowed by the Secure Border Act in 2006 and have never been funded, I think a lot of the virtual techniques that we have right now that are at the government's disposal, but President Obama has not been willing to give the tools to federal law enforcement to do that, and especially the pressure that groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations and other Islamist organizations in America are doing to try to put pressure on public officials to discourage them and to discourage law enforcement from going into the mosque and from going into Muslim community centers and to establish relationships, not just with imams and community leaders, but also the individuals who are praying there. There was two campaigns that were launched by CARE. One a few years ago in Los Angeles that was called Build a Wall of Resistance, Don't Talk to the FBI. And then another one, which was in Minnesota and St. Paul, where we have the most amount of Somali Americans per capita in the country, where the executive director of CARE requested that the FBI not go to mosques to speak with prayer goers. So we have an active effort from a nonprofit organization, a non-governmental agency in this country, discouraging individuals from within these communities from talking with law enforcement.
So, the problem is, Mr. Roman, that CARE is a radical organization supporting fundraising for Hamas and others. It's clearly on the danger list of the United Arab Emirates. Obama tried to get them to take it off, and they wouldn't do it, from my understanding, and that CARE is still on the United Arab Emirates terrorism list. So they're a bad group. But as you pointed out, this president has allowed this, has looked the other way at this. He's looked the other way at the fact that there are about six affiliates of the Muslim Brotherhood who have been in his administration as employees or consultants. And the other thing is, Jay Johnson sent a directive, the memo was released, which said that if you're an analyst at DHS, Homeland Security, you cannot look at the postings of somebody from outside the country, and that's why they didn't get Tafsin Malik, because she was posting
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And even going further, who does mainstream media and even local media go to for comment after this attack for the Muslim community's response? In this case, they went to Rula Alouh, the National Board Chair of CARE, who gave a press conference today in Columbus. She said, "We as yet know nothing about the motivation of the attack, but we do know of his Somali heritage, and that will be enough for some people to falsely link this tragic incident to the faith of Islam and the Somali and Muslim communities. All she has to go is to his Facebook post to see what his actual inspiration was. I don't want to cast a blanket blame on all Muslims in America. I've said this on your program before. Most Muslims in America are law-abiding citizens. They cooperate with law enforcement. They only have the best of intentions to be American. But when you have the main Muslim advocacy group, as identified by the media empowers them by going to them for comment. And they're saying that there is no link between a radicalized version of Islam and this individual who committed the attack. That becomes another way in which to not direct blame to Islamists and to Islamist fervor and to jihadiology, if you want to use the word that came from Robert Spencer, but to only say that it was a lone wolf. And that fallacy, that the idea of a lone wolf attack is just one individual's culpability, allows there to be a blanket exceptionalism that will further this kind of attack in this country until we get serious about incitement.
We'll come right back with Greg Roman, and we'll get into ISIS strategy. I mean, look, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to lose Mosul at some point. It may take longer rather than sooner, but it's an anguishing situation with large pockets of population being human shields at the moment, and they're doing their best, the Iraqi troops with American advisors and the Sunni and the Shia going in there trying to overcome the ISIS crowd, and they've left a pathway open to them to go to Raqqa, and once they can get Mosul back and ISIS leaves to go to Raqqa, then the question is, do we go in and just obliterate them? But they've already got their strategy of going around the world like this attack in Ohio. We'll come back with more on that with Greg Roman. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Folks, do what I did. Get yourself or a special person in your life the MTM Silencer Watch. This is Mike Siegel. The MTM is a military tactical watch originally created for the U.S. Air Force to use in the cockpit or for Navy SEALs to rely on in underwater situations. And signaling for help in an emergency is a feature of the MTM Silencer. It has the brightest LED light available with a light mode that can be seen up to 1 mile away. It has a rechargeable battery and comes with a charger that you can rest the watch on each night for a perfect charge. The MTM Silencer watch has digital date, timer, stopwatch, and five independent alarms with both vibrating and audible settings. It has a tightly sealed waterproof case of solid stainless steel and scratch-resistant crystal. It is individually numbered and crafted as well. If you are or know a modern-day adventurer or weekend warrior, you get the MTM Silencer watch now at specialopswatch.com, specialopswatch.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product fact I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention heartburn drug users. If you or a loved one has taken Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, and suffered serious kidney damage, chronic kidney disease, or kidney failure, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Studies from the JAMA Internal Medicine indicate a significant increased risk of acute and chronic kidney disease from taking proton pump inhibitors. If you or a loved one was diagnosed with kidney failure or chronic kidney disease after taking Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-225-8944. That's 800-225-8944. Again, 800-225-8944. Call now.
Want to see what you'd look like if you had a flatter belly? Now's your chance, because for a limited time, we're giving away free trials of SomaBiotics, the new discovery that flattens bloated bellies fast. But hurry and call now while we're still giving it away for free. 1-800-917-3929. Strict limit of one free trial per household. These free trials are reserved for anyone, male or female, who's looking for maximum belly flattening in minimum time. SomaBiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. So just think how much better you'll look and feel. Want to see what you'd look like with a flatter belly? Now's your chance. But hurry, call now for details while we're still giving these trials of SomaBiotics away for free. 1-800-917-3929. That's 1-800-917-3929. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-917-3929.
Welcome back in, folks. Good to have you with us. Mike Siegel in as we deal with the situation at Ohio State University, but not only that act, but what it symbolizes as a technique that has grown more and more on the part of ISIS and groups like ISIS. Let me turn, if we can, Greg Roman is with us. Mr. Roman is the executive director of the Middle East Forum. Let me turn to the big picture of this, because remember in the Lindt Chocolate Cafe in Australia, there was an attack. Brussels, there's an attack. Paris, there's an attack. One gunman in Orlando. Two gun people in San Bernardino. So these weren't 9/11 type attacks, nothing of that magnitude, but really the one in Paris, many thought was the equivalent for France of what happened to us at 9/11. But whatever that may be, it's a different strategy, because initially many of the people who were zealous supporters of ISIS were magnetized to go to Raqqa. Then they turned around and Adnani, I guess, who was their leader, who now is dead, number two under Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, said that, well, don't come here. Do your dirty work where you are. Build your organization where you are, your cells where you are. So now we find out Baghdadi is saying that there are cells in the United States as well as Europe, that they've got their people here, and that they just need the order to execute to do so. This is very different than what it was originally by building the massive structure infrastructure in Raqqa as a centerpiece. But now the report is that with six people at the top dead, thanks to our military and ISIS in Raqqa, that al-Baghdadi is basically hiding in caves, the kind of way, I guess, Saddam Hussein did, only with very few people around him because there's not many he can trust. He goes out allegedly into the crowds in Raqqa in disguise with the common folk, and they don't know that it's him. So that's all changing. And once Mosul is taken, Raqqa may be gone. And then, but that doesn't end ISIS nor the movement. Tell us about this transition to the singular attacks that we see emanating from kind of like the spokes, with the hub being Raqqa and the spokes being these attacks around the world, and how much more that's going to increase as Raqqa and Mosul become diminished.
So as ISIS's center of influence in Raqqa and Mosul dissipates, we have to look at the ISIS franchises that exist throughout the rest of the world. They're active in Libya. They control part of Syria. They're active in Nigeria, having Boko Haram pledge allegiance to them. They're active in Iran. They're active in Afghanistan. There's ISIS cell that's in the Sinai Peninsula with 800 fighting the Egyptian government. And they're also active in Yemen. Those are the areas that we may see centers of ISIS coordination existing after they fall in Syria and in Iraq. But that's not just one capability that they have of launching insurgencies in different countries. They also have three unique assets that's different from the way that Al-Qaeda used to operate. So think of ISIS like an accordion. They have a lot of hot air that is injected into the accordion, and their power expands across the Euphrates River. They're in Syria, they're in Iraq. But then as they contract, all of that air that goes out then goes to Europe, to the United States, to Asia, and other areas where they're planning attacks. The FBI has actually had an epiphany in the last 2 years. There was a program that they ran that targeted a 12-person ISIS English-speaking cell called the Legion. They realized that when there was an uptick in traffic that was going on between Iraq and Syria and Western capitals, that there was 12 people, individuals, responsible for communicating with different cells and different individuals in the United States and in Europe called the Legion. The FBI was treating it as a law enforcement matter for the first 4 years that they were looking into it. But then they turned to President Obama and they asked him for authorization to cooperate with the military to start having drone strikes against these social media provocateurs and attack planners. And they've actually succeeded in taking out 11 of the 12 members of the cell. But these were the same people responsible for encouraging a Boston-based Islamist that tried to kill U.S. law enforcement. They were responsible for an attack that was planned in Cincinnati, Ohio, if you want to talk about another Muslim college student in that state, where he was actually arrested and now he's sitting in jail for 20 years. And even beyond that, this group was responsible for coordinating with the ISIS overseas arm that was responsible for the Parisian attacks, for the attack in Nice, and possibly responsible for some of the attacks in the United States. So the FBI has taken out the social media capability. They've since been replaced, but the FBI now knows how to go after them. We also see that the military, instead of trying to just do airstrikes on areas that ISIS controls in Iraq and Syria, which destroys all the intelligence that might be collected there, they've decided to insert special forces. So the biggest coup that I think that the American allied forces had in Syria and Iraq over the last 2 months was when they were able to take back the city of Manbij from the ISIS-held forces, which hermetically sealed the Turkish-Syrian border, which was at one point a transit point from jihadis going from Europe into Syria and then from Syria back into Europe. And they uncovered plots that targeted London, that targeted Brussels, that targeted Spain, that targeted Italy, and that also led to the interdiction of the latest ISIS-planned attack, which was going to be on Disneyland Europe. So where they were treating, where American-led forces and the Iraqi and Syrian governments were treating this as just an enemy that you could pummel into oblivion, they've realized now that the franchises of ISIS, the social network division of ISIS, and also those responsible for overseas attacks can't just be solved through airstrikes, but they have to be solved through human intelligence assets. And I think the biggest mistake that the coalition is making right now by saying once we take Mosul, Iraq will be out of ISIS's hands, isn't realizing that ideology doesn't have any borders. And instead of trying to pummel ISIS out of existence, they need to do as much as they can to capture ISIS operatives, which is a very hard task because they'd rather die than fall into enemy hands, and to ensure that any attacks that go through when they take Raqqa or Mosul don't lead to the wholesale slaughter of Sunni Muslims that are living there, which will give ISIS more impetus to then blame America and her Arab and European allies, and then leading to more indoctrination and more attacks. So they have to be very careful with the way in which they go about physically confronting ISIS, and even more intelligent about the way they go about collecting intelligence and documents, and then executing operations based off of that. You can't deal with a small pin with a hammer. You have to be very delicate in the way that you're dealing with them.
At this point, do you believe that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi understands that at some point his domain will be eliminated, he might be killed or dispersed someplace else, and that the whole nature of ISIS will have to be totally different than what it is now?
I think that the evolution of ISIS, when it started in its former group back in the late 1990s, it was actually incubated by Saddam Hussein as
right.
the Fedayeen. And then its involvement from Abu Musab al-Zarqawi and al-Qaeda in Iraq, and then Baghdadi gets released in a prison exchange and an amnesty program from Camp X-Ray. He was actually in an American prison until 2008. He realizes that the ability for him to hold land and to declare caliphate is one way in which he can have his influence, but also another way that he can is to do it the same way he was able to organize ISIS into an Islamic state. ISIS itself operates like a foreign government. They have a Ministry of Defense. They have a Ministry of Internal Security. They even have a Ministry of Water Resources, Agriculture, and Fisheries. We know all of this because the Middle East Forum did a project through our Jihad Intel expert, a guy named Ayman Jawad Tamimi, that is probably the foremost expert on ISIS administration in the world today, where he was able to find out that they have contingency plans should there be a devolution in their ability to govern physical territory.
We'll come right back on that point. Let me ask you to stay right there, because I want to hear what their contingency plans are, because I think it's a foregone conclusion that Raqqa will be gone as an ISIS stronghold. 10 seconds, would you agree with that?
I agree.
Okay, we'll come right back on that point. So once Raqqa is gone as an ISIS stronghold, as well as Mosul, where do they go from there? We'll find out next with Greg Roman, Mike Siegel here. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
A world-class resort in a world-class destination. Located on the Atlantic Ocean, the Boca Raton Resort and Club offers the ultimate in elegant service, luxury accommodations, and activities for young and old alike. Put the stress we all face in our lives behind you as you enter the richness of what the Boca Raton Resort offers as a leisure oasis. The award-winning spa is world-class and built to resemble the legendary Alhambra Palace in Spain. It offers whirlpool waterfalls and a spa swimming pool with underwater music, a tennis academy, jet skiing, parasailing, water activities, snorkeling, fishing, to boating and surfing at the new surf school by Billabong. Enjoy world-class dining at some of the most exclusive restaurants in Boca Raton. Sea Grill has stunning ocean views and great seafood delicacies. Chef Morimoto's Sushi Bar by the famous sushi master, and 11 other dining venues, as well as cocktails at the Palm Court with its transparent ceiling. Visit BocaResort.com. Make your reservations for paradise. You deserve it.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Back we are. Good to have you with us. Mike Siegel here as we get back to our conversation with Greg Roman, Executive Director of the Middle East Forum. All right, so Mr. Roman, we have we agree that at some point whether it's Arab ground troops and American advisors, however they do it, Raqqa will be gone at some point. Now, if Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is eliminated, does that diminish the effectiveness of ISIS subsequently, or do they still operate in the 30 or so countries that they're in and still be a very vibrant, dangerous organization? What's going to happen?
So back in about June, July of 2014, this is when Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi declared the caliphate. And instead of encouraging the exit of Muslims into the West to take over and to attack Western targets, he encouraged actual emigration to the Islamic State. We saw that he also said something else, though, that a lot of people didn't pay attention to, which is their plan B should their physical territory fall out of their control. And that was worldwide action against Western targets. So this isn't a new ISIS strategy to attack the West, because they see that they're losing ground. What they're doing is they're implementing plan B of what al-Baghdadi said should happen if they're not able to arrive in the Ummah, or the Muslim homeland. It is part and parcel of 3 or 4 different elements that we have to look at. First, in that speech that he made from a Mosul mosque after Mosul fell to ISIS and the Iraqi army fled back to Baghdad in 2014, he said in a speech, if you cannot find your way to make it to the Ummah, to make it to Syria and Iraq, do all you can to attack the West, which is trying to stop our holy march towards Rome. This was his Rome speech that he was making. He said that we will go all the way back to our traditional hold of Italy, all the way to India. The second thing that you have to look at is the way in which ISIS has structured itself into small cells. The legion of what we were talking about before the break in the last segment was one way in which ISIS communicated with its assets overseas through social media and encrypted technology of messaging apps like WhatsApp and Telegraph and Signal. These are all different apps that they use to communicate with their assets overseas. What we've seen in ISIS propaganda, which was once focusing on their control of Syria and Iraq, is now propaganda that's pointed towards their ability to commit attacks against the West. So the first thing is they have the ideology that al-Baghdadi brought up. The second is they have the means to commit these attacks. And the third is that they have now started ramping up propaganda, encouraging these attacks against the West. And the fourth and final thing that you have to see is that these foreign cells that were once fighting on behalf of ISIS and its territory have now returned to the countries where they emanated from. They would not have been dispatched to return to the West without the implicit or even in this case explicit understanding that once the physical territory was lost and if al-Baghdadi fell, they would have the onus on behalf of his orders that he gave 2 years ago to start committing more attacks against the West. So this has been a known plan for 2 years. They have built the assets and the infrastructure to do this for the last 3 years, and they are now encouraging themselves overseas to start perpetuating attacks against Western targets in order to save face because they're losing territory against a concerted effort to eject them from Raqqa and Mosul.
So there would be more and more of these kinds of attacks that we saw at the Ohio State University, for example, or at the Lindt chocolate shop in Australia. I mean, in other words, we're going to see more of those types of attacks coming from the disparate groups that are all over the place as part of this ideology and as part of this movement.
There'll be three kinds of attacks that will take place. One will be just like happened yesterday. An individual who has a certain level of aggression towards the West and is influenced by ISIS-like media assets. The second are ISIS individuals who receive training, whether it be in Raqqa, whether it be in Mosul, or any of the other areas where they have their franchises. Like we see in Libya right now, there are ISIS training camps that exist there. They're getting on boats and landing in Italy, and they're finding out that their passports have been illegally forged by Libyan officials in order to be able to enter their cells from their franchises into Europe. And the third kind of attack that you'll see are ISIS cells that are well-organized, that got their training and orders directly from al-Baghdadi's assets in Raqqa and in Mosul, and they will be activated and commit large-scale mass atrocities in Western capitals and in Western countries. So you have the individual that is not directly connected to ISIS but influenced them. You have the individual who is directly connected and was encouraged by one of their recruiters to do an attack. And the worst kind of attack is the cells that were organized in the land that they hold right now or in the franchisee's land that they control right now. And they were directly ordered to respond, return to Europe or to America or wherever they came from, and then to commiserate attacks.
What is your view of how many of these cells or individuals, however you want to describe it? We can't know the number of people who might just climb on board with this, but in terms of those who came in because they were able to make the passports, they had the passport machine in Raqqa, and they made passports for people to come in with the Syrian refugees, so there may be some of them coming in that way, others coming in through the Mexican border that has been very porous. Any thought on your part as to how many either individuals or cells we have in this country that are part of ISIS?
Right now, the FBI has over 1,000 open files into ISIS-related terror cases in 50 states. And that's just what we know about. So if you use that number and then you take the amount of indictments that have been filed in the last 2 years at around over, it's about 97 or 98 right now, that we know about, there are hundreds of individuals in this country who are either on the precipice of committing an attack, have been speaking about it, whether it be private in their community or on social media, or other people who are organized and ready to just pull the trigger, or pull the metaphorical trigger to then pull the actual trigger on an attack.
What concerns me, Mr. Roman, is the there are some that maybe you cannot possibly plan for. But certainly, Omar Mateen in Orlando was known about. Certainly, the Tsarnaev brothers in Boston were known about. Certainly, Tafshin Malik, as I mentioned earlier, was known about, and then she got her husband involved when she came here. The fact of the matter is that the FBI does an incredible job. We don't even know how many they've stopped. I'm sure many. But those three that got through arguably could have been stopped and should not have gotten through. Would you agree?
I would agree that if the Immigration and Customs Enforcement was allowed to use all the tools that they had at their disposal and were not prevented by senior policymakers and politicians in Washington, that there may have been a greater chance of stopping them. But I will not say that with 100% certitude that they would have absolutely have been stopped. if there's a will on behalf of these individuals, then they're smart enough, and they are, they still have the ability to commit these attacks. Those three instances could have possibly been stopped, but I don't want to say 100%.
The reason I say that is because I put the onus on the administration's restraint of ICE, of CBP, of DHS. In other words, the administration's holding them back. My feeling would be that, given what the president-elect has said, the kinds of people he's hiring, like General Flynn and others of that ilk, maybe General Mattis for the defense secretary, a very tough guy, I get the feeling that the people will be in place and the policies will be in place to go further than we have been able to under this administration, and therefore acts like those might very well be able to be stopped.
I think that that hypothesis is correct, but we want to make sure that the administration does not go too far. The greatest risk that we have is alienating moderate Muslim communities and discouraging them from cooperating with law enforcement.
No question, and I agree with that. But I think you've got to have, whether you want to use the reasonable suspicion standard or probable cause, whatever you want to use, and also be able to go into the mosques undercover without harming what's going on, but just observing with the undercover FBI guys, things like that.
With an over and a covert effort is a two-pronged approach. By engaging with local Muslim community leaders, and I think they want to engage. I think they do want to talk to law enforcement and also other interfaith leaders. But also, on the other hand, being able to have the ability to go in covertly to centers of high Muslim concentration and being able to have the means to speak with people and interview them and to try to get CIs, confidential informants, cooperate.
Great conversation. Very quickly, give us your website. 10 seconds.
Our website is www.meforum.org. You can find all our articles, writings, and videos there. Every day it's updated.
Fantastic. Mr. Roman, thank you as always. Appreciate your time and your great insights. Good conversation.
Thanks, Mike. Don't do
take
it.
Care. All right, you take Bye. Care. Mike Siegel here, and we thank you for the hour. Great insights from Greg Roman. Don't go away.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if there were no contracts, no activation fees, no tracking, tracing, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE networks. Introducing PixWireless.com. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, and unlock GSM phones instantly. Bring your own device and make the switch today. Here's how. Call or click 1-800-205-9513 or PixWireless.com. Spell P-I-X. PixWireless.com.
Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com and use promo code radio to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.